I think David's playing with me. He had it on mute, so I guess he didn't want to hear me speak this morning. As you can tell, I don't have my voice. Maybe it's better that way. Kind of goes along with my lesson. I want to just keep ask everybody to keep Justin in your prayers as he's over in India preaching the gospel. I know there's a lot of things that happen in other countries that we're not aware of, and I know myself, I would probably be a little leery going to some countries, and we just need to keep him in our prayers as he's away from us, that he may remain in good health and that he may get home safely to us. In his absence, there are several men that are going to be speaking, and so we ask that you come back. Don't be afraid that somebody else is going to be up here other than him. I know he does a great job for us, and I just ask that you come back and listen to God's word from these other men. And with saying that, with my voice, it is I'm going to ask you to hone some of your skills this morning, and that's listening. One of the problems that we have sometimes with listening is it requires a few things. And first of all, it requires courtesy, so I appreciate your courtesy shown to me by letting me speak and listen to me, and whatever words I try to get across to you, hopefully you can understand it. It also requires your attention, especially like when someone else is speaking. We need to be attentive to what they're saying. We also need to be focused on the things which they're saying. And it's very important to us as Christians, as we teach others or as others speak to us about God's word, is that we focus on the things that are important. We also, as part of listening, as we hear and we listen, we need to seek to understanding. It requires understanding. And also empathy. You guys can empathize for me because I've lost my voice pretty much. But it does take empathy. You need to put yourself in that other position, person's place. And then discipline. Listening requires a discipline. It's not an easy discipline, but it does require that of all of us. The ability to use it to listen properly can build up relationships. And the other thing is that it can also tear down or destroy relationships. I don't know if you've known people, or maybe others in your family, friends, people that you work with, that when you try to say something, you want them to hear, but man, they can't listen. It's almost like, and so it's pretty soon, and I work with people, that when some people start talking, they just kind of tune them out. Because it's like, they're unlike a radio that you can turn off. Because once they start, you can't get a word in edgewise. And so we need to think about these things. You know, we can use it to build up our relationships, or we can tear down our relationships by not listening to others. Some quotes that I came across to think about as we think about listening. Robert Montgomery said, "Are you really listening, or are you just waiting for your turn to talk?" And do you ever feel that way? That you know you're talking to somebody, but you look at them and they're not really hearing a word that you're saying. They're not listening. They're not trying to understand. They're just waiting for their turn to talk. Ernest Hemingway says, "I like to listen. I've learned a great deal from listening carefully." Most people never listen. And so that's the way that it is. I always, when I go to work, there's things that I'm always kind of interested about. As I tell people, you know, it's interesting that when you hear and you listen to somebody, sometimes you learn something new. I learn something new every day, whether it's through somebody showing me something on the computer or something that on a topic that we're trying to deal with at work. You know, even coming in here in Bible study, I've told David Gunter, I said, "Look, don't try to get a class lesson done just in one period. Let it take its life of its own." If people listen sometimes when somebody else says something, you know, "I never really thought about that." And so as a part of that, they will learn. I learn. And then Frank Tiger says, "The first duty of love is to listen." And we know that in our relationships, that it does show love towards those individuals. And there's some fallacies about learning, or about listening. And one of those is when somebody tells you, "I know listening is not my problem." Well, listening can be our problem. Even if we tell somebody, "Oh, no, I'm a good listener." But telling somebody it's not my problem, it may be your problem. The other thing is, sometimes people, smarter people are better listeners. And that's not the case. I mean, how many times have you known somebody that's not been very well educated? But yet when you talk to them, they listen. You can tell they have that deep concern about you. So smarter, just because you're smarter doesn't make you a better listener. Good readers are good listeners. Which one of those are you? I know some people in here that are very good readers. My son-in-law, Brent, is a good reader. Justin's an excellent reader. Brian is an excellent reader. It's like when they read very clearly. But I don't know whether they're really good listeners or not. I really haven't tested them. But just because somebody's a good reader doesn't mean that they are a good listener. And listening skills are difficult to learn. I say, it's not that difficult, but it is difficult. Because you really have to, as we talked at the very beginning of this, is you've got to sit there and listen. You got to understand what's being said. You got to focus on what's being said. And sometimes it's very difficult. For me, I have a very short span of attention. If I was thinking something, I say, oh, I'm going to tell you something right now. And I walk over here to Donnie. And before I get to Donnie, if I think of something else, I will forget what I'm going to tell him. It happens to me all the time at work. I don't know what happens to you. Start walking down the hall. All of a sudden, this person's walking towards you. You've worked with them for 7, 10, 15 years, and all of a sudden you go like, what's their name? And so there are. Listening skills are the same way. You've got to practice. You've got to hone those skills. And then listening, here's another fallacy, is that listening improves with age. Donnie, does listening improve with age? No, because sometimes you start losing your hearing. And it doesn't always improve with age. People think that the older you get, the better you are at certain things. And listening, if you haven't honed that skill when you're young, you're not going to have it when you're older. And then there's 5 bad habits that we can think of. We'll go over when you look at it, is that learning not to listen. Remember we talked about that sometimes you just wait till that other person stops talking so you can go ahead and interject what you want to say. People don't always do that. And so learning not to listen, it's a bad habit. We've got to be able to do that. Thinking about what you're going to say rather than listening to the speaker. How many of us are guilty of that? There's a number of us. And I'm including myself in that because somebody will say something and you go like, okay, I gotta remember what I'm going to say. You know, and pretty soon you're not listening. This happened to me the other day on the phone. We were going through a legal document and a loan agreement. And we hit a point and they started talking about it, but I was focused on something else. And I started talking. Again, I asked a question and they looked at me like I was crazy. They said, we just talked about that. But see, that's where it was. I wasn't focused on what was being said. I was focused on something else. And so when people talk, I need to do a better job of listening to them. Talking when you should be listening is the same thing. And sometimes we need to just shut up and listen. My grandkids are going to say, you said that, shut up, but I didn't say it in that way. But sometimes we just need to be quiet. And so that's one of the things that we need to do is we just need to stop. Stop and listen. And hearing what we expect to hear rather than what is actually said. Have you ever done that? Somebody's talking to you and all of a sudden you think, man, they're talking right down the road. And you say something back to them and they go like, that's not what I said. That's not what I'm thinking about. Did you listen to what I said? No. And so, not paying attention. It goes back to what we talked about before. Young people in your class, you need to learn to focus. You need to pay attention. A bad habit is not paying attention. And this goes the same for us as adults. But what would happen if I'm going to go through, and I'm just going to put through a list of these things. I want you to think about them when you see these two things, managers and employees, and there's going to be teachers and students. But what happens if it was only one side? What happens if managers only spoke, but they didn't hear? There may be things that are going on at your job and your work, and there's problems. And you go try to take it to management, and they don't listen. This is how we're going to do it. And so those are things that we need to do. It's a two-way street. Managers need to listen, and employees need to listen. It's the same thing when you start talking about teachers and students. I've got daughters that are teachers. And sometimes it's just like they come home and they say they won't listen. They can't think. They have attention span about that long. And so teachers need to do the same thing, is that students need to learn to listen to their teachers. And sometimes teachers need to learn to listen to their students, because their students may be crying out for help, but the teacher doesn't have any inkling of what they're saying, because all they think maybe is that they're a troublemaker. The other thing too is like doctors and patients. How many of you have ever gone to a doctor? Say, this is what's wrong with me. And it's like the doctor doesn't even hear you. But we need to listen to what the doctor tells us, because the doctor may tell us things that we need to do to improve our health, that we may recover more promptly. But the same thing that sometimes you'll be talking to, I know this happened to you, go to a doctor's office and you start explaining how you feel or whatever, and they start talking like it's something else. They're saying, wait a minute, just listen to me. That's not what I said. I hurt here. I don't hurt up here. And so we need to learn to listen to those things. Parents and children. You know what? We were all children at one time, right? We were all lived in our parents' house. We lived under their roof. And there's always that one saying is that, wow, you know, my dad's a whole lot smarter today than he was when I was little. But people think about that. So children, listen to your parents. Parents, listen to your children. There may be signs that they're giving you that there's something wrong. But if you're not listening to them, you're not going to be able to catch that. And it may end up, you may be suffering from a situation they're going to find themselves in. And they may tell you, look, I try to tell your mom, I try to tell your dad, and I try to tell your grandma, grandpa, try to tell you my brother, sister, but you wouldn't listen. And so sometimes we can find ourselves in that. And then this one, those of us who are married, probably one of the difficult things that some of us have to do is listen to each other's spouse. And I know that I have that. Maria can say something to me and I might not even hear it. My mind may be focused on something else. And it's sad to say, but don't talk to me when I'm watching a football game. Okay. It may be the same thing with you. Don't talk to me when I'm watching my favorite movie. Okay. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit pause and say, are you finished? Okay, stop talking. And then start my movie back again. But people do that. We're all guilty of that at some time or other. But we need about parents. What is God's word? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It's one thing that we need to do with our kids is we need to teach them to learn how to listen. Okay? And it's not do as I say. Do as I say, not as I do. We need to live the example. If we tell our children not to do something, we need to not do those things ourselves. Train up a child in the way he should go. Teach your children to listen. Teach them that they're not always right, that they got to listen to somebody else. And you'll find out they're going to get along with a whole lot more people. And they're going to learn as they grow older. And they'll be able to use those experiences when they're older as they grow. They'll be able to learn, mom and dad told me to do this. And since they told me to do this, it works. The other thing is that children obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. In this day and time, we live in a society that children don't want to listen to parents. And I hear it all the time. My daughters come home from school, sometimes in particular one that works at a school that there's like no discipline. These kids have not been trained as they are growing up to respect authority, respect their teachers, anything else. You can't teach people those things when they don't listen. So obey your parents. When your parents say, listen to the teacher or listen to those who are above you, do that. Listen to them. The people that are talking to you may not be right, but you need to listen, and then you can ask them questions. And husbands and wives, this is where I'm getting myself in trouble. But husbands likewise dwell with them with what? Understanding. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of the Lord, that your prayers may not be hindered. Sometimes we don't think about that last part of that verse, that your prayers may not be hindered. How I treat my wife or how she treats me in our relationship is going to have a direct impact on our prayers to God. So we need to learn how to live with our wives, men. Live with them with understanding. We don't always seek to do that. The best thing for us to do is to try to understand them. They're different than we are. There's no two of us in here alike, whether we're male or male, female or female. We're none of us are alike. And on the other side, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. That even if some do not obey the word, they will the one out of word may be won by the conduct of their wives. People in this day and time, feminists do not like the scripture. If you gave them a Bible, they could start cutting out verses. This would be one that cut out right away. Why is that? Because it starts saying, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. God has put an order in things in life, okay? And he expects us to follow those things. We need to listen to what God says and be able to do those things. And if your husband loves you like he should, it's not going to be difficult for you to, for her to be submissive to you. We live in a society, we hear about spousal abuse all the time. But if people could just go back and listen to this, that your conduct, women, wives, is that you could, they say, without a word, they may be won by your conduct. The way that you act and the way the things that you say to him or to others when things go wrong, how you react to things, and what you say is you may be able to win them without even saying a word. Remember, the scripture says that, you know, even my mind's gone blank, my voice is going away. But even though we may die, as the scripture says that even though he's dead, he still speaks. Can you hear him? I can't, but we can hear him through God's word. He's not speaking vocally to us. Why is the same thing as your husband's? If they're not a Christian, they can look at you, that your actions speak louder than words. And so they'll listen. They'll listen by your actions. And there's a couple different... Oh, thank you very much. I've got some water up here. Maybe I'll need to drink it. But what's the primary key to good listening? People say, how am I going to be a better listener? We need to do what we talked about before. We need to seek first to understand. We don't do that. We've talked about it in class before. Sometimes, like, if you go to teach somebody, sometimes we want to teach to somebody up here. We want them to start up here. We want them to listen to where they are. But they may not be there. They're down here. We need to seek to understand. So when they speak, they know when they start to listen that we're coming to them at the same level and the same plane. And so we need to seek to understand first. And this is coming from Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of, I didn't write it down, of Effectual People, okay? He says, seek to understand, and he says, and then to be understood. This goes back to the listening skill. Let me listen to what you're telling me, and then I'll be able to respond. God's word tells us that. We don't have to worry about that. Even God, look at what Jesus said. You think that children... You think because you're young that you can't do this? I want you to look at what scriptures say about Jesus. In Luke, the second chapter, in verse 46 and 47, he says, now it was that after 3 days, his parents, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, doing what? Both listening to them and asking them questions. And we need to do that sometimes. Jesus had it in the right order. He listened to them, and then he asked questions. And that's the same thing that we need to do with our spouse, our children. You teachers need to do that with your children, your students. Students need to do the same thing. They need to understand. They need to listen and then ask questions. It's going to do two things. You're going to be able to win that person over because you show them that you really care, that you're listening to what they say. And now, if it's possible, you're going to be able to help them. He says, sitting in the midst of them, both listening to them and asking them questions. And what was the response about those about him? All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. They could hear the things that were being said, and they could hear his questions, and they were astonished by his actions. James, we talked about this before. God's word is very clear on us with respect to our listening skills. Be swift to what? We all ought to know that. James, the first chapter, verse 19, 20 says, so then, my beloved brother, let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Swift to hear, listen, seek to understand, then open your mouth. Remember the saying, you know, open mouth, insert foot? Have you ever caught that? I have, because it's just like all of a sudden you're going like, you should have never said that. You said the wrong thing. If you would have just listened a little bit more, you would have not said that. But James says, swift to hear and slow to speak. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be listeners. He wants us to understand where somebody else is coming from. And then let us speak after we think about what they've said. Look at the scripture and what it teaches with respect to faith and hearing. Luke 17, verse 5 says, and the apostles said to the Lord, what? Increase our faith. Increase our faith. My daughters are singing, I need to drink some water. But listen, increase our faith. What was he going to do? How was Jesus going to do that? He's going to do it through teaching. Let me ask you a question. How would their faith have grown if they didn't learn to listen? They may have heard. Have you ever told somebody, your kids, look, it's going in one ear and right out the other. If I look through one side of your head, I'm going to be able to see out the other side because you don't listen. But the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And so Jesus, in order to do that, they had to listen to the words that are being taught to them. Romans 10th chapter and verse 17. So increase our faith. But faith comes by hearing. And hearing how? Hearing by the word of God. If our faith isn't growing, then we're not listening. We're not listening to what God has to tell us through his word. So just like the apostles said to the disciples at that time, increase our faith. In your prayer or mine, have you ever asked God to increase your faith? Maybe the next time you pray today, maybe you say, look, increase my faith, because we all need stronger faith. There may be some of us here that have stronger faith than others. But what if I just say those words, but I don't do anything? The word of God, Paul said to Romans, he says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you ask God to increase your faith, increase wisdom, the only way you're going to be able to do it is to go back to his word. And we need to learn by listening. That's kind of interesting when you think about it. Romans the 15th chapter, verse 4, says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So look at that scripture and read it again. For whatever things were written beforehand, before were written for our learning. And we talk about, you know, they're saying like, you know, history tends to repeat itself because people learn. We don't learn. We may experience things, but we may not learn because we don't have the patience and the comfort. We don't take patience to learn, but it says that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It takes both of those, patience, and through the patience and understanding what God's word says, then we can take comfort that we may have hope. And so we need to listen to God's word. And listening is just more than hearing. And I know that sometimes when you look at God's word, it says, hear. But it's more than just hearing. When you look at what he says, that Luke said in chapter 11, verse 27-8, he says, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, Blessed are those who hear the word of God. Is that what he said? Just hear the word of God? He says, no, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's our responsibility. When we hear it, we need to learn to keep it. And so when we need to be doers, if I said be doers, you're going to ask, hopefully you'll finish up the rest of that scripture. But be doers of what? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Let me tell you, when you and I come in this building and we listen to classes and we sit here and we listen to Justin's lessons, we may just be hearing it. It may be like those kids going in one ear and out the other. And I don't mean to pick on you kids. It may be adults, like it's going in this side and coming out this side. But the thing is that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And have you ever told your kids to do certain things and they just don't get it? They just keep right on. God's word says for us as Christians to be doers and not hearers only. And when you think about what John said as he wrote the book of Revelation, what was said to the seven churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You got an ear, he says, let him hear. That just means that we just talked about the scripture. He says, to hear it and to keep it, to do those things. He doesn't just say to hear. We know what he means when he says, let him hear. Learn of what was being taught to you through those things which are written. Now, why is this important? Why is it important for us to be good listeners to God? Why is it important for us to be good listeners to God? Because we want him to listen to us. Just like when you talk to somebody, do you want them to respond to you? Do you want them to hear you? Well, we need to do the same thing. We want him to listen to us. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. You expect for me to ask whatever I ask of God, you expect him to give me? Why? What does he say? Because we keep his commandments. We listen to what has been said. We take it into our heart. We digest it, and we live according to his word. We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. When you think about what did God say about Jesus? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He didn't say, oh, I'm proud of my son. Look what he's doing. He said, I'm pleased with him. Look at what he's done. He's doing the things that he's supposed to do. He's pleasing to me, and that we need to be pleasing to God in the same way. His ears are open. God's ears are open to whom? Who are they open to? He says, the eyes of the Lord, in Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He hears the cry of the righteous. And so we want God to listen to us. We need to be a righteous people. And in Psalm 34 and verse 17, two verses later, he says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And so when we ask God for help to take us out of trouble, of the situation we find ourselves in, we need to ask and then we need to wait. It may not happen 15 minutes or by the end of the day or next day or the next week, but we still need to maintain our faith in him. And so this kind of goes back to what we talked about before. We always use this as far as we tell somebody how they need to be, what they need to do to obey the gospel. And it all starts out with hearing. We need to hear what God's word says. And then after that, you're going to find out whether somebody believes on what God's saying or not, because they're going to react. You're going to hear what he says, but then you need to believe. The things which God said are true. And then he says, you know, that he wants all of us to repent. Do we listen to that? Do we hear it? Does it go in one ear and out the other? But we need to repent of the things which we've done wrong. And part of that obedience is to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one that died for you and for me. I didn't die for you. My father didn't die for you. Mike Shields' father didn't die for you. Grant Wiley's father didn't die for you. James Jones' father didn't die for him, even though that was like a long time ago, right, Jane? But when you think about those things, Jesus died for us. And to be baptized. In preparation for another lesson, I was amazed when I was reading at this one website. And the writer is like two paragraphs. When do you think he said that Paul was saved? He was saved, he said, on the road to Damascus. He didn't even read further. Okay, Ananias says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He's trying to get Paul to be saved before he had his sins washed away. He couldn't do that, but it was in writing. It was just amazing to me. And I'll tell you one other thing, and then we're getting ready to stop. But I bought a book one time years ago, before Sarah and Amanda and Jessica were even a thought in my mind. But I bought this book because I wanted to learn. And so later on, I found this book after obeying the gospel. I said, man, let me go back and look. It says, you know, Bible words. That was the name of the book. And so you start thumbing through it, and there's all kind of words, you know, it's telling you everything. I said, well, let me see what it says about baptism. Guess what word wasn't even in that book? Baptism. It amazed me later on, because you can hear people. They want people to be saved before they complete the steps of these things that we talked about. And then some people that live right now, they don't hear, they're not listening. They think they can just go ahead and continue to live the life however they were before. But God wants us to live faithful. And so we need to live faithful. Even if it's not once saved, always saved, we need to remember that we need to live faithful to His Word. But He doesn't just let us go there. If we fall and we stumble, He's given us a way to be able to pick us back up. He says to repent and to confess your sins. We need to be able to confess our sins, unless we want to stay down and stay in the mud and the mire of this earth. But we need to go ahead and make our lives right with God, and so He gives us a way back. Listen to what He's telling you, and listen to what He's telling. I need to listen to what He's telling me, and I need to practice those things. And so, if you go ahead and take your songbooks, turn number 272. Number 272. Brian's going to lead us in that song. But to think about these things that we've talked about this morning. When you leave this place, are you really listening to what God tells you to do? We all need to do a better job at that. So if you'll go ahead and stand, if you have any need to obey the gospel in any way, shape, or form, just come forward as Brian stands and leads us in this song.